So I'm joined in-house here with Emma Collin. Say hi, Emma.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming in. Can you give us a little background? So Emma is one of the major organizers with Divest Tulane, their program of Fossil Free, which you can look into. It's gofossilfree.org. Emma, can you tell us why you got involved in this work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I've always been interested in the environment and social justice. And when I first got to Tulane, I was doing a lot of environmental organizing on campus with like local sustainability initiatives. And during that time, I was also getting really politicized about climate change because I realized how much of a threat it posed to New Orleans. And I hope to live here probably for the rest of my life. So I think divestment is an interesting tactic. And we kind of started the campaign here at Tulane a few years ago because we realized that while local organizing and changing people's habits and et cetera is really important, we've just reached a point where that's inadequate to address the scale of this problem. And divestment is really cool because it really changes that paradigm of conversation that's always existed around the environment from individual action to system change. And I think it's just the next logical step in addressing climate change.
So you've already been in negotiations with Tulane and gotten a no from the divestment campaign. But can you tell us, like, what year you started working on this,
sure.
What it was like to start organizing with other students?
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. So I was the vice president of, like, the Tulane Green Club, which is all about the local initiatives, 2 years ago. And then that spring, we went to Forward on Climate, which was, like, a large, it's like a 50,000-person protest in D.C. And we got back, and I think everyone just had a lot of energy, was really feeling really politicized. And from there, we started talking about divestment. And at this point, so divestment, just to maybe explain to those who don't know, a divestment is just really the opposite of investment. So Tulane has $1 billion endowment, which is invested like in a variety of asset classes. And so we're asking Tulane to uninvest, like screen for fossil fuel companies. And this started at Swarthmore College. This entire campaign has been student run and student organized, although it's been picked up from 350.org and Fossil Free, et cetera. But yeah, it started about 3 years ago, and right now 500 colleges and universities have campaigns in the United States. And then there's even more internationally. Over the last 3 years, $50 billion has been pledged to not be invested in the fossil fuel industry. So it's been a lot of fun to work on this campaign. We've had a lot of momentum at Tulane, but we can also really watch kind of this global movement grow and see all of these successes around the country and around the world. At Tulane, I think we've faced our own share of challenges just based on where we are geographically, who we've met with. There's no doubt that there's a lot of money in our university, in our board of trustees that comes from oil and gas. So we faced those challenges with the administration. But the student body has been extremely receptive. We received a majority of the undergraduate student vote. Last semester, the undergraduate student government overwhelmingly, almost unanimously passed legislation calling on the board of trustees to divest. And yeah, we met with our president. Tulane has a new president. We met with him at the end of last semester, and we'll be meeting with board members this semester.
Excellent work. It's really powerful to be like pushing against an institution, whether you get the like yes that you want. Just that showing resistance to what is the status quo is really strong. And it's really great that you're modeling that with other students. We really appreciate that. For beginners for divestment, can you give us a little history about like how it is an important tactic?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is not the first divestment movement. It's been used as a tactic for a number of things, although most notably before now, there was a campaign against South African apartheid. So during the 1970s and 80s, about 150 colleges and universities in the U.S. Divested from South Africa, as well as other churches and institutions, just like happening now with fossil fuels. And that was really instrumental. I mean, of course, no one tactic ended apartheid, just like no one tactic will end climate change. But when Nelson Mandela got out of jail and he came to the United States for the first time, before he went to D.C. or anything like that, he went to Berkeley to thank the students there for working on the divestment campaign and said that it was really instrumental in helping end apartheid. So divestment has a really rich history, like a demonstrated efficacy. And the fossil fuel divestment movement has been shown to be the most quickly growing and the largest divestment movement in history.
Yeah, so let's get back to climate change. Can we talk about what's being done so far to address it?
Yeah.
In the larger landscape, yeah.
Sure. So I think it depends where you look. There are a lot of reasons to be optimistic. And around the world, there are a lot of groups and governments, the U.S. military, like, people are calling for really bold action on climate change, because I think people are starting to understand there is, like, a shift in consciousness where it's becoming more common knowledge, just how great of a risk climate change poses to our entire civilization. We don't see that same leadership everywhere, and I think especially in Louisiana, we can look at a lot of our elected officials and see that they don't believe that climate change is happening. Or even if some politicians are starting to acknowledge that's happening, they're not acknowledging that humans are playing any role in causing it. And I think that when we look especially at Louisiana politicians, it's why is there so much inaction? Why is there this refusal to acknowledge the problem? A lot of it stems from money in politics. And the oil and gas, the fossil fuel industry is giving, I believe, more than $900 million annually to members of Congress, and especially members in the House Committee on Science and Space and Technology. So I think that's where divestment comes in, is when there is just this total lack of action. It's really seeking to kind of stigmatize acting more in the interest of an industry than constituents.
So what we've talked about how, you know, there's lots of ways that individuals can be involved. But divestment is something that people can do as well as in groups, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, individual action is important. I encourage everyone to think about their own consumption and whatnot. But, yeah, there's always kind of been this thing where it's like if you don't like, you know, really, and I think the piece before this kind of was addressing it, that to address climate change, we really urgently need to just move away from fossil fuels. And there's always kind of been this rhetoric of if you don't like something, just stop using it. And it's kind of impossible just with the current systems. So divestment is an opportunity for people who want to get more involved kind of in that system change aspect. If anybody in New Orleans wants to get involved, we have a community petition as well as alumni, a faculty petition and students, and there's really ways for anybody who would like to get involved. You could shoot an email to divesttulane@gmail.com, and we'd love to find a way for you to get involved. And there's also, divestment, at this point, many, many colleges and universities, if you're part of a church, there's a good chance that a lot of churches are starting to talk about divestment, pension funds, entire cities, counties, et cetera. So I think locally there are a lot of ways for folks to get involved in their own divestment campaign.
Yeah, and if you wanted to look into divesting your own investments, you can go to Fossil Free's page, your roadmap to divestment as well. So what is it about fossil fuel divestment that is really positive for Louisiana?
Cool. So I think, right, this is something that we face a lot at Tulane. There's kind of this knee-jerk reaction that, you know, we should be empowering Louisiana, and isn't this going to be bad for the people of the community, and et cetera. And that's another thing I think is really cool about this campaign, is it really challenges this assumption that the fossil fuel industry is good for Louisiana. So Louisiana is the third largest energy-producing state and the second poorest state. And I think part of the reason this industry is so profitable is it really externalizes a lot of costs onto people. So there's Cancer Alley between New Orleans and Baton Rouge with the highest per capita cancer rate and all these petrochemical refinery plants. There's these coal export terminals along the Gulf where asthma rates are six times the national average. You know, the Gulf of Mexico, fishing and tourism is still suffering. You know, like there's a lot of ways that this industry is really hurting people. And I think that, like, we just have to remember that we have to get our energy from somewhere, and the same people working on these offshore drilling rigs are also really equipped to work on offshore wind turbines. And there's a study out of UMass Amherst that showed in the U.S. as of 2010, dollar per dollar money invested in renewables generated three times as many jobs as money invested in fossil fuels. So I think divestment and then more generally moving away from a fossil fuel-based economy really could offer a lot of benefits to the people of Louisiana in clean water, clean air, and new jobs.
So this isn't when we talk specifically about Tulane's divestment. You know, one of the arguments is that it actually wouldn't make like that big of a financial impact. It's much more a social impact. Can you speak to that point?
Sure. So Tulane's endowment is $1 billion, which is certainly a lot of money. But when you consider a small fraction of that is probably only invested in the fossil fuel industry, and just the size of this industry, we're really talking about drops in the bucket. So our investment will not hurt the bottom line of these companies, nor will it hurt Tulane's endowment. But that's not really the point of this whole campaign, right? This is a social strategy more than a financial one. So we're not trying to, even though $50 billion has been pledged, like, we're not really trying to drive this industry out. We're really trying to draw attention to the root causes of climate change, of environmental and social degradation, and also really kind of stigmatize politicians taking money from this industry.
Thanks. So we've been actually speaking a lot with some locals about fracking. There was kind of steps made in the North Shore in order for there to be a fracking platform. And so we've spent time talking with Frack Free Denton, who organized in Texas. They joined some folks in St. Tammany to talk about that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how Tulane and Tulane students can, help support, the environment that the university is in.
Cool. Yeah, I was up on the Bogachita River this summer a bit, and I know St. Tammany is really well organized anti-fracking, and I think they're facing a lot of victories. I think they're a cool example of the power of a community coming together. And also kind of, I think they're cool because, like, this kind of shows, like, clean water, clean air is a bipartisan issue. You know, this is a really conservative, generally red community, but they really came together because they value their own land. So that was cool. I think that divestment kind of exists as a solidarity tactic. So there are a lot of ways that, you know, we can get involved in different communities, and I really encourage students to reach out to folks in different communities because I think they all would love to have the people and the energy in their own campaigns. But I do think divestment also strives, right, to be a solidarity tactic. So if Tulane uninvests its endowment from the fossil fuel industries, you know, that's kind of sending a really loud message to, you know, the folks in St. Tammany, to the folks in Gretna who are organizing against a coal terminal, to the folks in Dulac who are fighting against climate change.
So in this moment in time, we're seeing a real convergence of crises. And for sure, climate change is up there, because what kind of social justice can we seek when we don't have the land to be living on? Can we talk a little bit about how divestment makes a system change?
Yeah. So I think this is something really interesting about climate change, is it's so broad and so widely. Of course, the idea of justice comes in, right? Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. But it does affect everyone. And so I think, like, there is a lot of opportunity for system change here, because really it forces everybody to kind of take a step back and look at what's happening in our planet. And so we try to incorporate a lot of community members and a lot of talks about justice, like we bring in intersectionality, because you can't separate climate change from racial justice, from the exploitation of workers and such. It's all the same systems that are perpetuating this. And I think drawing attention to kind of like the more fundamental problems of the fossil fuel industry, how they've been externalizing their costs onto taxpayers, onto workers, onto the health of the planet, really kind of draws attention to the same problems that a lot of our political and economic systems have been perpetuating. And so I think one also really amazing thing about the divestment movement is, I mentioned there's 500 college campaigns. So there's thousands of students around the country right now who are extremely well organized, who are being given all these resources, not in the form of money, but in the form of, like, trainings and being taught how to organize. So it's creating this really, really robust climate movement that's also focused on the intersectionality of Black Lives Matters and economic justice and et cetera. So I think that's creating the potential for a lot of change as well.
Great. Can you talk a little bit about how divestment has been used with tobacco as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's an interesting parallel as well, because the science of tobacco, like, contributing to lung cancer was pretty well settled by, like, the 30s or 40s. And still, I mean, I know my oldest brother has asthma because when my mom was working in the 90s, people in her office were smoking. And there was this huge time disconnect between when the science was settled and when politicians were willing to admit and legislate on tobacco. And I think we're seeing, like, an extremely close parallel right now, where the science is so settled on climate change, but we still have so many politicians, you know, who just, the only thing they have to say about it is, I'm not a scientist. And so the divestment from tobacco was kind of to draw attention to that same thing, that, you know, there's no laws against smoking around pregnant women, and our politicians are refusing to acknowledge that that's a problem because their pockets are so lined from the tobacco industry. So it's that same kind of, like, corporate interest in politics problem. And I think that's an extreme parallel to what's happening now.
Okay. Thanks. So you are in your last year at Tulane, and you've learned a lot from organizing with Go Green Tulane and Divest Tulane. What do you have to say to the students that are going to fill your shoes when you graduate?
Yeah, I think this is an exciting time to organize. And I would say just, like, don't be afraid to be mistakes. You know, just when you're a student, I think we have a lot of energy and we have a lot of time. So just use it as best you can. And I would say be optimistic. When we started the divestment campaign at Tulane about 2 years ago, I don't think any of us, or at least myself, I didn't really think that we were Tulane would ever divest, but I still kind of thought it was an important campaign in of itself. But the more we work on it and the more people I meet around the country who are doing the same stuff and, like, watching these other unlikely victories happening, it won't be easy, but I think we can do it. And so I would just say, you know, be optimistic, eyes on the prize, and let's keep doing it.
As you move forward, what were some of the local and maybe national groups that were really inspiring to you as when you learned and, like, as shaping your future?
Sure. So I worked for 350.org this previous summer. And there, I just want to emphasize that the student divestment movement is completely student-run. But they facilitate a lot of trainings, and they're really involved in helping organize. But so I had a week-long training in Minneapolis, and I got to meet students from all over the country who are doing the same type of work. And, like, it was just, like, really, you know, these are kind of student leaders from their own campaigns, and, like, watching them now and seeing everyone doing this work, and the People's Climate March in September, like, a lot of us were bus organizers or whatever, when, like, 50,000 students showed up to New York in September. Like, I think really just, like, the robustness of this movement is really inspiring. And I'm constantly inspired by the people I work with at Divest Tulane. It's a pretty amazing group of people.
Great. And so say we have some student listeners, we have some folks that are living in the community. What would you say to your student listeners first? Sign the petition, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, divesttulane.org. You can look for a petition. And just that being a student, I think, is a privilege, and it kind of comes with responsibility. Right? Because, like, that's what's cool about being a part of Tulane or any institution is that you have, I mean, for one, all these resources, but also just being a part of that institution and kind of being able to influence it. Like, Tulane has $1 billion, and when are we ever going to have access to that much money again? And yeah, just kind of embrace that, like, we have a huge power to evoke change right now. And so for these, you know, four or however many years, just kind of take that and do what you can.
And so for folks in the community that are maybe working on climate change, maybe not, what are some messages that you have for those folks?
If you're working on climate change, or if you're interested in working on climate change, we would love to talk to you and figure out if there's some way we can work together. I'll also do a quick plug. I help organize with this coalition called Gulf South Rising, which is a coalition between the five Gulf South states working on climate justice, economic, racial, environmental justice, type of stuff. And this will be a big year for the Gulf South. We're at the 5-year anniversary from the BP spill, the 10-year anniversary from Katrina, 50 years from Selma to Montgomery March and the Voting Rights Act and all that. So you can email divesttulane@gmail.com too, and I would let you know more about that. But yeah, if you're interested in climate change, I would just say reach out to anyone. There's a lot of organizing happening in New Orleans, and I think at this point everywhere. And use that energy, use that interest, and get involved.
Okay, let's take this opportunity to just do a shout out to lots of organizations that we're really thankful for. Yep. For climate change. I want to say I really appreciate the Louisiana Bucket Brigade for their map of all of the explosions and leaks and spills. Do you have any others?
Yeah, there's a lot of good groups doing good work in New Orleans. Gulf Restoration Network, the Audubon Society, all the student organizers. There's an environmental justice group at Xavier that's been doing a lot of really, really amazing student training. Yeah. And I would say also just, like, don't get too caught up in the organizations. You know, just remember the folks, because sometimes that can become a problem in of itself.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Emma. I'm going to get into the calendar and play just one more back to that Global Divestment Day. Definitely, if you are listening to us at home or at school, look into gofossilfree.org. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Fossil fuels have no future. Today, in oil, gas, and coal reserves around the world, There is 5 times more burnable fuel than will ever be safe to burn. Yet, despite undeniable proof that they're fueling a climate crisis, the fossil fuel industry is ploughing on with its mission to find more. These companies, with all their financial might, are the biggest obstacle to climate progress. They have our political process in shackles with their lobbying power, their arm bending of politicians, and their spreading of false information. And they are enjoying billions in government subsidies every year. Fossil fuel companies only care about one thing: money and their ability to keep making it. What can we do about this? And who can stand up against them and steer the world towards a safe future powered by clean, renewable energy? Well, you can. You and me and her and them and those guys and that group over there and their friends and them. They might have power and money, but we have a different currency. It's us, our movement, and we can hit them where it hurts. Since 2012, thousands of respected institutions, local governments and individuals have pledged to divest from fossil fuels. It's the fastest growing divestment movement in history. Divestment is deliberately moving your money away from companies you're not happy with. It's helped to stop some of history's worst offenders, including apartheid South Africa. Each act of divestment takes back power from the fossil fuel industry and helps create a mandate for our leaders to take real climate action. Last September, hundreds of thousands of us took to the streets to demand action, and now is the time you can join us again. On February the 13th and 14th, 2015, in the run-up to crucial climate talks in Paris, we're holding our first Global Divestment Day, where thousands of people everywhere will turn out to take a collective stand, demanding institutions finally do what is necessary to protect our future on this planet. We'll close our accounts with banks and funds who continue to invest in climate chaos. Faith groups, students, and frontline communities affected by climate impacts all over the world will get involved. We'll hold divestment flash mobs, vigils, sit-ins, meetings, and rallies, and we'll get the right information out there. We'll be asking people and institutions everywhere to divest from this self-serving industry of the past. Clean, just, renewable energy technologies will ensure a safe future, and they're ready and waiting for our investment. On Global Divestment Day, we will show fossil fuel companies that we are truly a force to be reckoned with and that we're taking back our future. Together, let's make fossil fuels history.